Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, the ESPN app, your smart speakers. Download the podcast. Good morning, guys.
Morning.
What it do, baby?
Zip. You got he in from L.A., Jay back from vacation. They were where it's balmy and warm, but I'm in this mode.
No one told you to be here.
The Nets got a this is where the studio is.
Well, no, on the weekends, you don't have to be in the cold.
You know what? It's too much travel for, like, I'm off on Friday after 3 o'clock, right? I do three shows on Friday. Then I'm back here at, you know, 5-something in the morning on Monday. It's not enough time to go anywhere. You got to take a day off.
You got to make time.
Yeah. So the Nets get a huge win over the weekend in Milwaukee with Kyrie Irving, road court advantage. Sixers are 2-0 with James Harden. We're going to get to all of that in 10 minutes with Tim Legler. But we saw what the Nets got from Kyrie on Saturday night. Dropped 38 in a win over the defending champs. Will the Nets have Kyrie at home moving forward is the question. New York City's COVID numbers continue to go down. So long as our indicators show a low level of risk and we see no surprises this week, well, on Monday, March 7th, New York City Mayor Eric Adams will also remove the vaccination requirements, meaning indoor dining, fitness, and entertainment venues. I don't know why, but despite this announcement from the mayor, a city official told WABC-TV that Irving would still not be able to play at Barclays on March 7th as the city's vaccine mandates for workers remains in effect. This was confirmed by Fabian Levy, press secretary for Mayor Adams, who tweeted, this is not that hard. Everyone in New York City go get vaccinated and we go back to normal life. So, Jay, I'll start with you.
Max,
your reaction.
I'm confused. Yeah. And please translate for me.
Yeah.
Because I have a lot of questions here.
Yeah.
So, I own a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Do all my employees need to be vaccinated when things open up March 7th?
Yep.
Okay. But anybody who's unvaccinated can come in?
Yep.
Yes.
Your employees have to be vaccinated.
Okay.
But others can come in without vaccination. That's right. I don't understand lifting a vaccine mandate at all. I understand a mask mandate. But to me, like, when I was a kid...
Regardless of whether you want to... People understand that or not. I'm just trying to clarify the rule. I don't want to go down that path. I'm just trying to understand. So
that's an important path.
I hear how you – yeah, it's an important path, but I just want to stay on topic for what this path conversation is going towards the Barclays Center. So you can come in being unvaccinated, and you could be there courtside sitting unvaccinated. Mm-hmm. But if you're a player, you have to be – you can't play in a private sector because you're not vaccinated.
Correct.
Because if you're an employee – you have to be vaccinated, private sector or not. Employee is the key. And Kyrie is an employee of a private sector within Barclays Center.
Well, why isn't that up to the private sector?
I think the idea
is... Why isn't it up to that private institution?
I think the idea is this. If the numbers are going down, what I was going to say before is when I was a kid, if you wanted to go to school, like public school, you had to have your measles, mumps, rubella vaccination. Like you had to go. You couldn't go to public school, right? Okay.
They just
told
me to get a shot.
I think the idea here is, Jay, I believe the intention here is that if the numbers continue to go down, then you don't want to infringe on personal liberty in terms of, like, you can't go live your life without the vaccination. You can go. However, things like you want to go to work, yeah, you still need to get vaccinated if you want to go to work in New York City. That's the idea. In other words, it's in fact a lifting of restrictions against personal liberty because there's not as much of an imminent threat, but that's in your personal life, you can do whatever you want. But if you want to go to work, your place of business,
I understand that,
it's an easing of restrictions.
But I do feel if numbers continue to decline, and once again, I will openly state that I am I've gotten double vaccinated. I've had boosted. My booster. I am for people doing that. But I'm also for people making the right decision for them damn selves. So
the right decision for themselves is to get vaccinated.
Max, I don't want to go down this path with you.
But that's scientifically speaking.
We're going to disagree on that then.
You think scientifically speaking
I'm not saying it's not the right thing to do. I'm saying people are entitled to their own personal view on the matter.
Yes. No. Wait. But this is what's important about the rule.
But what's happening, though, what I'm saying, though, on this is that so now, and you can read it right here. This is from December 27th. New York City's sweeping mandate requiring nearly all private sector businesses to ban unvaccinated employees from the workplace took effect Monday amid a spike in COVID infections, leading some employers grappling with thorny personal decisions. So, like, I just feel like that should be up to that private sector entity to determine whether they want to do that or not. Why is that a sweeping regulation for all private sectors?
Because that was put into place by your old mayor, if I'm correct.
Correct.
De Blasio. Yeah. It was put in effect by him prior to him not being the mayor moving forward. And so I guess the new mayor has to get it overturned or it's going to still be in effect.
So this is step one of reversing it. But let me just say, people are, and this is a problem I heard with Kyrie too, I know my body. You may know your body. Whatever knowledge you think you have has nothing to do with a pathogen or an inoculation, or there's no way to know that. Like, you either do you study it or you don't, right? You don't know it intrinsically. I just have a feeling that this won't be good for me. So essentially, the short answer to why the mandate went into effect is because we were in the middle of a pandemic. And there are so many people susceptible to low-quality information that weren't getting a vaccine, which was clearly, like, the thing to do, scientifically speaking, but that they had to put a rule in effect in order to get out of the pandemic.
But here's what I'm going to say, just so that you know, and I kind of side with both of you guys. I mean, I'm vaccinated, and I think everybody should be vaccinated. But your choice is your choice.
No doubt.
There are people that work in private sectors, doctors, that are not vaccinated. There are doctors that are not vaccinated.
Yes, they do exist.
I know for a fact that there are doctors that work in hospitals and
they're very smart.
They're not very
smart in this respect.
Okay. I'm just saying.
That's your opinion.
They
are scientists. They are doctors who are in the science world that are not vaccinated.
Right.
But that's their choice.
Sure.
But they're in the private sector. I understand what you're saying, Jay. Let the Brooklyn Nets make that decision for their employees. Let them make that decision.
Same way here at ESPN, we would for our employees.
Well, that was the reason, the short answer as to why these restrictions are now being eased. I think you're looking at it the wrong way, Jay. You're thinking, like, why is this still there? The fact is they're taking a step toward what you are looking for, which is personal choice, right? Like, you're saying, why is this still? Well, it was we're not starting from zero. Like, there weren't mandates. There were mandates put in effect. The reason there were mandates put in effect is because, scientifically speaking, if there's a vaccine, you get the vaccine and it helps get out of the pandemic.
Yes, that is
so true. Many people were susceptible to this low-quality information. Don't take the vaccine. It's bad for you. That they weren't getting vaccinated.
But I just said to you, there are people that have this information like doctors.
They exist.
They're not getting low-quality information.
Let me tell you why.
Doctors.
Key, let me tell you why. Because there's no such thing as unanimity. Even if it's 90-something percent, you will always find examples to the contrary.
When we talk about science and doctors, there's doctors that are not vaccinated.
I'm just saying it still doesn't make sense. So
I have a restaurant.
You can come into my restaurant and all my employees have to be vaccinated, but yet you can then infect other people at my restaurant. Like, that doesn't make sense. It doesn't register to me.
People that are unvaccinated can come into the restaurant, sit down with no mask, no nothing on, and your employees who are vaccinated are still serving unvaccinated people.
Because again, and then we'll get it back to basketball. I believe that you're looking at it from the point of view is there are some things that don't make sense here. So why have the restriction in place at all? I think the idea of the restriction is to get as many people vaccinated as possible. So if you do business in New York and you want to go to work, you got to be vaccinated. You can't force people to do it, but you can incentivize.
Kyrie dropped 38 last time out, right?
Yeah.
Is it better for the Nets if he stays fresh like that with his legs? Because it seemed like to me he's balling even though he's missing time.
Man, he's always going to ball, Key. Like, that's who that dude is. Like, the question is, can they be at full health considering right now their position in the Eastern Conference. So with KD coming back, we'll see when Ben Simmons decides to make his appearance. If Kyrie were allowed to play all games, which he should be if the mandate is being retracted on March 7th for the public sector as opposed to the private sector, it just makes no damn sense. I don't care what nobody damn says. They should be one of the favorites to win it in the East.
But does it really matter where they're seated? Does it matter, though? If they're the top
If Kyrie can't play all games, you'd rather them be not in the top four seed, which because that means they would have – they're playing the majority of their games on the road with Kyrie as opposed to playing the majority of the games on the road if the series were to go to seven-game series, right?
So if they're top four, they get more games at home.
At home, yes.
If they bottom four, they get more games on the road.
Yes.
So to be safe, why not just stay at the bottom four?
Because if the vaccine mandate – well, I see what you're saying. Because if whether or not it's lifted, he'd be able to – you lose nothing by being in the bottom.
Because I got the top
well,
dudes
the only thing you do lose is one game of home court.
You do, but that you don't – I mean, what's home court when you got KD and Kyrie?
I agree.
That's my whole point.
I agree.
And you have Kyrie. If a game goes to seven-game series, the majority – four out of the seven games, you have Kyrie. You much rather have that.
Right.
If you go to seven games anyway, you probably – no matter if you're at home or on the road, but guess you're probably still going to be favored.
And guess what? That game seven will be on the road. So it means Kyrie will be playing.
Yeah, so like in other words, risk-reward,
right. Exactly.
What you're risking if you make sure you stay in the bottom four, what you're risking is one extra home game. In the event that the mandates are lifted and he can play in all games, you've just given up a home game.
Guys,
what
I said
you're
this like
getting,
a month and a half ago. I wasn't going to say, hey, look,
also,
be in the bottom four. You know,
but like, what you're getting is outweighs that, I agree. Because
yeah,
what you're getting
like
is you make sure he plays as many games possible.
And he's fresh. And he's fresh to me.
I can't help it, Key. So you can sit behind me and sneeze on my neck. And you're allowed in the building, but this dude ain't allowed to play. That's the dumbest rule I've ever heard.
Jay,
sneeze
do you want more, fewer people vaccinated?
I go at you all damn day with this.
But hold on. Just,
oh, just,
because I just believe it's very simple and you're just looking at it from a certain point of view. Here's the reason the rule is in effect. Forget about the apparent contradictions or hypocrisy, right? They want
so
as many people.
So you recognize that, right?
They
you,
want,
you openly
it doesn't
state
make,
that. Can
it,
you just openly state that you recognize
I openly state that if you look at it in a vacuum, it doesn't make sense. What if you're trying to stop the spread, why have people able to come in the arena and breathe on people, right? But you're looking at it from the opposite point of view, I believe. If you want as many people vaccinated, take it from that point of view.
Man,
you incentivize employees to get vaccinated.
Max,
doesn't mean that you can force people to do it.
So
you're saying if you can't force everyone to do it, don't do anything.
But players can come into the Barclays Center and be unvaccinated and play.
So in other words, if you can't get everyone to be vaccinated, don't do anything about it.
I didn't say that, but I'm saying
that's
the
logic.
You know that 98% of the league is vaccinated, right? You know that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're quibbling about the 2% here. And that's making the world of a difference. That's what you're trying to tell me. That 2%, they're really messing it up.
No, I'm not telling you that. It's where law intersects with rules of sports. Like
you're
sports
the first
exists.
One to tell me that
I
laws
am,
exist. It doesn't mean they're always
I
right,
I am
Max.
A person no. that believe that everybody should
it
follow
is right
the rules.
In this case. Yeah.
I am one to believe everybody should follow the rules. Now,
all right.
Kyrie is looking to win a championship, and so are the Brooklyn Nets. They need to figure it out.
Key is just trying to talk about some sports here.
Because this is not a science show.
Key mentioned Kyrie going for 38 against the Bucks on Saturday night. That's part of the Monday morning roundup, and it's brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Tim Legler was on the call right here on ESPN Radio. Tim, what do you think of Key's point that it might be better for the Nets to be in the bottom four of the East to have Kyrie for an extra game? Tim Legler, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I've been saying that all along. It's just an interesting dynamic that you bring to the mix. You know, if you're a team that's playing the Nets, you know, think about, would you rather have to, you know, get this guy on the road four times? You know, if you have the home court advantage in that series, that means you're going to get Kyrie potentially four times if it goes seven games. And if you go into their place as a road team, you only have to get them three at most. So it's interesting, you know, dynamic that I can't believe we're even talking about, this sort of strategy that can come with this. But the bottom line is this. I think if you start thinking about things like that as an opposing team, you're already in trouble. You know, I remember years ago when Dallas was the number one seed in the Western Conference, and we were talking about the Warriors at 8 being a bad matchup like 2 weeks before the playoffs started. And I'm saying, If you're the number one seed and you're worried about an 8-seed matchup, you're already cooked, and sure enough, Golden State ended up beating in that series. So I think you don't worry about it. You let the chips fall where they may, and you get the Nets however you're going to get them, and you got to worry about bigger things in terms of defending them, particularly when Kyrie is as good as he was Saturday. He was absolutely electrifying. He reminded everyone how elite this talent level is that Kyrie Irving possesses.
Legs, what is your interpretation of what's going on with Ben Simmons? So I know that they played the 76ers on March 10th. Do you think we'll see Ben Simmons in the Nets uniform by then?
Well, they're talking about his conditioning, Jay, Will, and I think for me, I have a feeling, I just have a weird feeling, he's going to reach peak conditioning around March 11th. Does that make sense to you? The day after that game, I think he's going to be completely 100%. In touch with his body. His biorhythms will never be higher. Right around, well, I might even take it as far as March 10th, around 10:30 p.m. He is going to feel amazing. I have said from the beginning, I do not think he's going to play in that game. And you can tell by the talk around the Nets. The more they talk about it, the more they sort of like they're extending the window just enough to get him past that game. And now, if I'm the Nets, and certainly if I'm Ben Simmons and I'm anybody in his camp, I'm saying, listen, get it over with. Now, it's never going to die down the rest of his career. He's going to get it when he goes back there. Philadelphia fans just will never forget what went down. They're just on a different level, I think, than anybody else in the league with regard to that. But it's obviously going to be worse right away. Get it out of the way in the regular season rather than making your first appearance potentially be in a playoff series. But I think Ben Simmons is thinking, hey, listen, if I don't play March 10th, I mean, a lot's going to have to fall into place for us to get them at some point in the postseason. Maybe I don't see him at all till next year. And I really think that Ben Simmons, that's where his psyche is. Because for him and what he has exhibited, to have the intestinal fortitude to go into that building on March 10th would really shock me.
Tim Legler, ESPN NBA analyst and former NBA player, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Legs, who's better at full strength, the Nets or the Sixers after this trade?
Man, it's a tight call. I know everybody right now is falling in love with what they've seen out of Philly for two games. And I would probably still say Philadelphia for me is probably the team to beat, because you're talking about the most potent offensive combination in the league, because they completely overwhelm you physically. You take a look at what happened yesterday. How are you beating a team when you give up 44 free throws and 27 to one player? You're not winning games like that. And he's not going to shoot 27 free throws every night. But the combination of the two of them, the way they can control the game and the way that they can pound you on that end of the floor, and they put guys on the bench in foul trouble. They're in the bonus so early in every single quarter. And they can both beat you on every platform. They can beat you in the paint. They can beat you from deep. They can beat you at the line. They can beat you as playmakers. So now you just plug in enough around them. And I've been glad to see Maxey has not been affected by this. And that's great. He is just a basketball player, he's proven to be, because the balls are taken out of his hands to a large extent. And he's just become a scorer, has not been affected so far. Tobias Harris is struggling right now. He's now the fourth option, basically. And you could tell he is not in rhythm, and they're going to need him to make some shots. If they get enough three-point shooting amongst their role players, I still think that team has the highest ceiling. I would probably lean toward the Sixers, but it's not as clear-cut as some people would think. Once you get KD back, he's going to remind you of that. Ben will be out there. He can help. He adds a lot of value defensively with playmaking and pace. You got Kyrie. You saw what he did on Saturday. And adding Drummond and Curry, actually, you know, you think about it, they added basically three starters in that trade. So the Nets are right there, but I think the combination of Harden and Embiid and what they do to you defensively, that's the highest ceiling, although they both have a lot to prove in the postseason, because they've had some bad moments in the postseason when they needed to be better. Doc Rivers as well. They've got more to prove on that side. You know, KD and Kyrie, they've done that on their side. Steve Nash as well. I mean, not win a championship, but I think those guys you could count on a little bit more maybe than some of the playoff problems that those three guys have had in Philadelphia. They've got to overcome that, but the talent level's there.
Legs, we keep going back and forth about is it better for the Nets to have Kyrie on the road? Is it better for the Nets to play at home? Da, 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 da. Can we talk about whether or not we could just get into the playoffs as Lakers? How concerned are you about the state of the L.A. Lakers and LeBron James?
Yeah, concerned because, look, the pieces have been a problem all year, the fit with Westbrook. That's something you can overcome a little bit better if you get more time together. They haven't had a lot of that. AD's been out. You get him back, you know, he reminds you what he's capable of on both ends of the floor. You still have LeBron James. You think, well, okay. It's just a matter of getting a sustained run with those players. But there's something else about this team that I don't like, and you saw it really surface last night. They just do not face adversity in the course of the game well at all. Their body language changes. Their finger pointing changes. They look like their chemistry is not there. They don't have collective will to fight through bad stretches of games. And when you look at the top of the West, and it's not just the top couple of teams, look at, you know, what Memphis has done this year in addition to Phoenix, Golden State. Look at how well Dallas is playing. Look at Denver. How do you really expect the Lakers to be a team that you think can go win a seven-game series based on what we have seen so far this year? You saw it last year, Anthony Davis missed a large stretch. They thought, okay, we get him back, we'll be cool. We can roll through the West as a seven seed. They didn't make it out of the first round. These teams are too good. They play too well together. They've got too much shooting. They've got too much star leadership. The Lakers are an absolute mess. Now, look, they'll be in the play-in, and I think they possibly could even escape the play-in. You're talking about Minnesota, the Clippers, and New Orleans right now are the teams you're dealing with in the play-in situation. Lakers have LeBron James and Anthony Davis healthy. I think they're going to get through that. But to think then they're going to go beat a healthy Phoenix team, assuming they get Chris Paul back healthy, beat a Warriors team that's just going to continue to get better with adding, you know, Klay Thompson fully healthy under with all his rhythm back, getting a Wiseman back into the mix. Kuminga gets better every night. They're not going to be able to beat those teams. And they certainly haven't shown you that they have the will to get through adversity, even if a series turns on them and they're down 2-0. They seem like a team that's going to be thinking about summer plans. So they have shown nothing this year to make you think that they're a legitimate team that is relevant in the West with as good as the top of that conference is.
Tim Legler, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Legs.
All right, Legs.
You got it. All right.
Take care, guys. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. So, does the Browns' best player, the Cleveland Browns' best player, actually believe in the guy who's supposed to be their most important player? That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Get them into the playoffs. You know, be that pedestrian kind of managing of the quarterback position. And then he stays. But they're not going to pay him long term. Big money. He'll get a extension contract. It just won't be crazy.
Anything short of that, he's not going to get the public to buy in on him, and he's definitely not going to get the people in the front office to buy into him being the quarterback past 2022. I think Baker's under the most pressure of anybody in the league.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Key, Myles Garrett says he's standing by Baker Mayfield, kind of. So what do you make of this? When asked by TMZ, do you believe in Baker Mayfield? Miles Garrett said, yes, unequivocally, I support. No, he didn't say that, Key. He didn't say, write it down, underline it. I believe in Baker Mayfield. What Miles Garrett said, Key, is I believe in the Browns. Now, you've been on teams that clearly don't believe in the quarterback, or let's put it this way, from outside, I'd look and think, man, they can't believe in that dude. Is that the case, and what's that like?
Well, he said he believed in the Browns, so you include Baker Mayfield in with the Browns. But if there was something better, he'd believe in that too. He'll believe in Baker Mayfield until such due time that the Browns don't believe in Baker Mayfield anymore. So what you do as a teammate is what you do is you worry about yourself and try to do what you can do to help the team win until such due time that you realize that ain't working at the quarterback spot. And coaches and people around can tell based on body language. You don't have to say it. They know based on body language, whether you're on the defense or the offensive side, that that dude underneath the center isn't taking us anywhere. And they can look at a guy like Miles Garrett and say, well, he's not very happy with that because he just sat down after taking the offense three and out, and he's off the bench again because Baker Mayfield just threw a pick.
But how do you thread that needle, Key, in terms of, on the one hand, I take what you just said to mean, you correct me if I'm wrong, like I believe in the Browns, and therefore anyone on the Browns, you're my teammate. I got no choice. Yes. I got to believe in you, right? So you make yourself do that.
Yes.
But at the same time, you hear players all the time be like, man, that dude's sorry.
But that's asked in a public setting, not in a private setting. Mm-hmm. If it's a private setting and you ask me, I'm like, man, that dude can't play. They got him out there because his uncle used to coach with the dude and da-da-da-da.
But how do you – what I'm saying is when you're on the field and they snap the ball – how do you go from your brain rationally understanding? Because I feel like
because you hoping and you praying that what you saying isn't right.
Just take a leap of faith.
That it's right.
Yeah.
You taking a leap of faith to such due time that you can't.
You hope you're wrong.
I've been in situations where the quarterbacks were not very good. And I didn't need to say anything because the coaches could see me in my body language, in my frustration.
And I could see in my living room your quarterbacks.
And they could already tell. They like – yeah, it's probably a good thing that we get rid of this dude because if we don't get rid of him, Keyshawn's going to strangle him.
But so what this means, though, is that if you're already up to that and you're Miles Garrett, who is a stone-cold baller, right, and already you have to answer that about Baker. Also, Key, let me tell you something.
Well, the question's about Baker's out there, though.
But that's not really taking care of Baker.
You if can't take care Garrett, of him. I'm not getting ready to tell you. I'm not getting ready to endorse a bum.
Is he a bum, though?
Okay.
Isn't he good enough that you can fake the funk?
Bum might be harsh.
Yeah.
I'm not getting ready to endorse a guy that I don't 100% believe in.
But can't, like, let's put it this way. This is what I'm saying. Isn't Baker good enough where if you squint and you're Miles Garrett and you're on his team and you'd like to dead any, you know, germ spreading?
Yeah, but I gotta do too much.
You can't just say, yeah, Baker's good, you know, like he was hurt last year.
I can't do that.
Or I believe
because I'm endorsing him. And if I'm endorsing him and it goes south, now what?
What about, look, we're trying to win a Super Bowl. I believe in him just like he believes in me. Something like, in other words.
No, that's the same thing, Max.
You can't, but Baker's not, look, Baker is a solid quarterback to me. Is he not to you?
But why are we having this conversation?
Because he ain't that good.
Because people don't believe he's good enough.
Yeah, right.
And so if I'm approaching you and I'm asking you about this individual and I'm not endorsing him, that should tell you that I don't believe in him. Because if you ask me, I'm going to tell you, man, he can go. Or I'm going to say, we'll see.
See, that to me, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You could also hit us up on the Twitter feed, at KeyJMX, 888-SAY-ESPN.
Hey,
but to me, what we're really talking about now is because we're trying to hit a moving target. How are opinions about a guy? What do we think of him now? What about now? It just sounds like what you're really asking is, can you win a Super Bowl with this dude? And what Miles Garrett's really saying
it's
is,
hard.
I don't think so.
It's hard.
Yeah.
It's not that they can't. It makes Miles Garrett's job
harder. Yeah.
That's all. It just makes it harder.
How many sacks you had today, Miles? Three. You need to get five.
Yeah, it makes – look, dude, I played on a team with one of the most dominant – I would call one of the top five defenses in NFL history.
Yeah.
With all the Hall of Famers that was on our defense.
For sure.
Our offense as a whole
We made it hard for Simeon Rice and Derrick Brooks and Warren Sapp and those guys. We made it hard because our offense was just, ugh.
Yeah.
It wasn't the players on the offense. It was the philosophy in which they believed in the offense. They didn't believe in certain people on the offense, so therefore things were scaled back. It wasn't that we couldn't win with that quarterback. It's just that they didn't believe it.
0-2 Bucks defense, boy.
Yeah. And Baker Mayfield, you know, he's up against it.
Dylan in Fort Bragg. You're on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Hey, how you doing, guys? So I'm going to kind of throw you under the bus, Max. So I remember last year you were saying that Baker was in the position of franchise quarterback. And, you know, being a Browns fan, you know, as I am, you know, I'm looking at the situation for the Browns and, you know, maybe grabbing a guy like Bailey Zappe or Carson Strong in the draft and, you know, developing that Baker and getting him to compete, you know, having him fight for that contract.
Well, hold on. How are you throwing me under the bus? I never thought Baker should get a huge contract. I never argued that. In fact, I argued the opposite.
Wasn't on this show.
Yeah. I was arguing he should be in the mid-20s somewhere. I roll with Baker.
Yeah, he was trying to take money from Baker. That's what you were.
I hate doing it, but.
Different stance on this just in? Is that what you're doing? You're playing both sides?
No, he said last year.
So nice of Jay.
Last year, yeah. And when he said last
year. So nice
year,
of Jay to chime in.
Unless he mean 2021, like not this, like.
What?
Meaning like when you came on in the summer. Maybe that's what he means.
Whatever he means. All I know is
I think
Baker is better than most people think, but let me put it this way. I would keep Baker if it was 25 a year. If you start talking over 30 a year, you talk about someone else because
I was backup quarterback money now.
25
well, that's
a year.
That's what I'm talking about. If that's what I would do if I was a GM of a team and Baker was my quarterback, you got the whole job of a GM, properly priced commodities.
He would be in the top second half of he'd be 7, 8, 9, 10 on the pay scale.
Nope.
Damn.
I move on for that. Now Baker will be fine. Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and I mean, you know, I'm not worried about his
dough. He'll do fine. Baker see you in the streets.
Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max. I know it's the worst. This is the worst part of the job when you got to tell the truth about someone and somehow you're like saying they should get less money. I hate that. Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance, offering coverage options as unique as your business. Progressive covers companies of many sizes and specialties. Learn more at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Long-term consequences of short-term behavior. That's next. Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
What is happening with MLB and the players?
It's this horrendous game of chicken, and they're both about ready to drive off the ledge. You might win this negotiation, but big picture, you're going to lose.
A deal isn't likely to happen, which means neither is opening day.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. So the Major League Baseball and the Players Association remain far apart on a new CBA, the deadline looms because baseball, Major League Baseball said that after they met for 6 hours on Sunday, guys, that if they don't have a new CBA by the end of negotiations today, and all the reporting's been, it's been incremental and nothing's happening, and they got to work everything out today, then you're going to cancel opening day along with a week's worth of games. That's like the first deadline. Here's MLB reporter, ESPN's MLB reporter, Jesse Rogers, with the latest from Jupiter, Florida, on where the two sides are meeting. Excuse me, let's go to the Buster Olney sound on the chance of a deal getting done today.
Today, I think it's zero. They just have too much ground to cover today. Now, it is possible that the owners, again, because they're in a position where they have the greater financial might, if they were to come into the room today and say, you know what, guys, we're going to make a major move forward, then you could start the talks. And in good faith, knowing that that progress is being made, you could conceivably, you know, get a deal done the next couple days.
Hopefully they do. Because it would be a shame to lose games and to watch them push baseball back some. I'm a baseball fan, and I'm a Dodger fan, obviously, and I want to see baseball start on time. But if they don't, for whatever reason, get this thing taken care of, and I guess the deadline is today, but what time, right? Is it a 5 o'clock deadline? Yeah. Is it a
11:59 p.m.?
Yeah. I mean, when is it over with? And you would think that the pressure points are right now to get something done, but they're probably not going to, because if they're so far off, they're not going to all of a sudden in the next 10 hours decide, okay, we come to some agreements. Part of the problem with that is, as we talked about earlier, they're going to suffer long-term from the decisions that they're making right now from a fan's perspective, not from a national perspective, but more regional. Because the fans are a regional – baseball is a regional sport. I mean, the Yankees, the Dodgers are kind of the national teams. People follow them either coast, whatever. But in between, you got those other teams, Jay and Max. Now, how will they recover from that? We saw it, I believe it was in 2016, the last time this sort of stuff happened, if my mind serves me correctly.
When they actually missed games?
That was 2 years ago.
They worked it out, right. 2020.
2020.
It was a 60-game season. And, Jay, so much of baseball is, and I'm a baseball fan too, I'm a big baseball fan, but we never talk about it on the air because you're right, it's regional. It's not national. I care about the San Diego Chargers. Or sorry, the Los Angeles Chargers now. I don't care about the San Diego Padres, really, as a Yankees fan. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's a super regional sport. But so much of baseball is comparing numbers and seasons. And when you start getting 60 games, okay, that's a pandemic. But if they start missing games now, baseball can't afford
this. Can I ask you guys
a question?
You guys are both baseball fans. Like, I've gotten bigger into baseball as I've gotten older. But if the season doesn't start on time, are you guys going to miss it?
Yeah, I will.
I like the opening day.
Opening day. But after opening day, Max, will you miss it?
I will, yeah.
All right, because think about the sports calendar. So opening day, then you start getting into March Madness. March Madness kind of takes over.
I don't care about that till Sweet 16.
Okay, but still, it's March Madness. A lot of people will start talking about that more. So, I mean, will you be talking about Major League Baseball, like regular season games?
Because we're baseball fans, we will about the Yankees and Max,
right.
Me and the Dodgers.
That's
like, I want to see where Clayton Kershaw's going.
Right. That's the thing about baseball.
What's going to happen to Clayton?
He is a Dodgers fan. And I'm a Yankees fan. So what's going to happen once baseball starts up is the Yankees will be on in my house, in some room of the house, like wallpaper.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Now, it's not like other sports. You're right, Jay.
You pay attention to your one team.
Only one team, but you don't pay attention to every inning because it's just too much. Too many. So you have it on, and it's kind of on all the time.
So it's white noise. It's white noise to a degree. That's what you're comparing it to. A little bit. You check in with it here and there, but it's white noise. That's my point a little bit to a degree, right? It's like comfort food.
Yeah, it is. It's comfort food.
Okay.
Yeah. It's early in the season because nothing's at stake early in the season. It's comfort food, but it is, Jay, comforting. Like, it feels good. It's like when you eat comfort food, there's a reason they call it that.
Comfort food.
You feel good. When your baseball team is playing, it feels good. It feels good. You have to listen to every inning.
I'm going to watch the Dodgers play Milwaukee. I'm not watching Milwaukee play the Padres. I don't care.
Right. Same.
The Yankees play the Dodgers, great. Right. If the Yankees play the Red Sox, great. I'm a Dodger fan, but I'm watching that.
Yep.
You know, I'm not watching the Yankees. I'm not watching, like, the Rays
play the Astros. I don't care.
Maybe I might check out, like, if there's some hot rivalry or if it's the Cubs and Cardinals, maybe it's traditional. I'm not going to watch the whole game, but I'll check in on it. Hey, what's going on? But it is your – if when you have a team, you ride with that team.
And what happens if this gets pushed off and it doesn't start on time and they miss games, now, even though it's background noise, you are going to distance yourself from it, and it's hard to get that fan base back, so to speak. Now they're moving on.
I don't think so.
Now they're going to move on to everything else. No, it's a fact. It's shown in history when these things have happened in Major League Baseball, it's been a struggle to get it back because it's not like the NBA and the NFL quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. There's no face of Major League Baseball. Like, we want it to be a face of Major League Baseball, but the face is regional. Like,
but Mike Trout plays in Anaheim.
And that's it.
I think you guys are talking about traditional fans that have been around teams for a long time. And I frankly think, regardless of when the season comes back, you guys will come back to watch your teams. I think it hurts with the growth of the sport, of the fan base, because you look at what Gen Zs are paying attention to. I'm not sure it's the same kind of
– This is what I would say, Jay. I agree. This is what I would say. When baseball went away in 94 – no World Series. And then 95, it was a truncated season, too. Yeah. People forget they missed a couple weeks in the beginning. It was a more naive time. People didn't understand the impact of PEDs, but it took an incredible amount of PEDs in the sport. And all the home run records started breaking. And then it became, you're right about what you're saying about growth, but back then it used to lead shows on ESPN all the time. Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, later on Barry Bonds would lead shows all the time. It's going to be harder to pull something like that off. People are hip to the game, the PED game now, right? Like, so what is baseball going to be able to come up with that attracts the fans back? Well,
you mean market their own individual players?
Good point.
Is that a shocking thing to say?
Well, they do market their own. You mean the actual league itself, not the organization.
Yeah.
But the league itself, for whatever reason, they've just done a poor job at doing it. When, like you said, you got a guy like Bryce Harper, great hair, looks great, but if I ask somebody walking down the street, hey, what does Bryce Harper play? They tell you Washington Steel. They wouldn't know that he's in Philadelphia because of the way that they market these things. Or Trout, the best player in baseball. Is he really? Or is it Mookie Betts? Mm-hmm. You know, it just depends on
Trout would have been drafted by the Yankees, baseball would be better off. If the Dodgers got Mookie Betts, it's better for baseball. You want, in baseball, temporarily at least, the biggest, most transcendent stars in the biggest markets to get this thing going. But then, the small-town markets are going to be like, hold on a second.
Think about it. When the big unit got to the Yankees, he was pretty much at the end.
Yeah.
But he became like a legendary Yankee-type star for a short period of time.
Even like a Jacob deGrom. I mean, look at our whole media poll that we took this past season, right? Him being one of the most, like, well-known players in the whole sport.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
DeGrom was incredible when he was healthy. But the Mets also don't do enough winning. All right. Well, you ever watch The Odd Couple back in the day?
Yeah.
Oscar. Baseball. Some news from the football field. There you go. Now people's ears perk up. Football involving a top 10 pick in baseball who's changed the complexion of his organization and now wants to get paid. That's next. Coming right up. Who could I be talking about?
Ooh, tell me.
I'll tell you coming right up. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max on ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 80.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.